Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This afternoon, Escape Pod, of course, has the beautiful Jo still traipsing around Europe. She's getting the dust of many different foreign lands on her shoes at the moment. And I believe now that she's been to Germany and then she's back to the UK. I'm just trying to sort that out. So she's been through Spain, Singapore, the UK, back to the UK, Germany, and so many other amazing places. So we will have Jo back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, we are bringing on some of our friends from the Taser Radio course, recent graduates who went through the course with us. Joy being a not-for-profit and community station, we rely on volunteers, and we're always looking forward to getting new, fresh views, fresh voices on the air. So today we have a graduate, a very good friend, Michelle. Good afternoon.
Thank you for having me. You've got me filling some very large Joe shoes, I think.
Yes.
But I'm really looking forward to a great experience this afternoon.
Well, we've got a great topic that we're talking about today. We've got two main topics that we'll be talking about today. The first one is New York City, which is a excellent destination for gay and lesbian travellers. And you just recently got back.
Yes, my new favourite city, I think. I think when we came back a month ago, we wanted to pack up the house, sell it, back to New York.
Wow, that's a big commitment.
Incredible place.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people talk about going to New York and they love it. Mm. And if you haven't been, you don't know why. It is alive. And we describe it as like Melbourne on steroids. It's like, you know, everyone down along the Yarra in Moomba or a public holiday, and there's people everywhere, noise and energy and food vendors and taxis and ambulances and sirens. That's exactly what it is, 24/7. It is the most astounding place I've ever been to.
Sounds like the Docklands.
Yeah. Yes, it is, it is. But we're going to find out a lot more about New York, I think, maybe in the next hour.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And we'll also be talking about a subject that New York has, well, the people of New York, the authorities in New York has brought up, which is the legalities of online accommodation sharing, like Airbnb. Airbnb being the most popular and the pioneer and the most famous. And the owners, we've just been looking at the press, and the owners have certainly also cornered the market on Smug by the look of the corporate images. They have a lot of questions about the legalities coming up all around the world, and we'll be talking about that later in the hour. But firstly, we're going to be talking about New York. Welcome, Michelle, to your first co-hosting of Escape Pod. We're glad to have you here. We had a lot of fun during the Taster Radio course, and we really want to encourage everybody who's listening, who is interested in community radio, to really get involved to do the course. Leanie's a fabulous teacher, mentor, lecturer, leading light. She's very
lolly provider, lollies, chocolate provider. She and on that, Mark, you're absolutely right. It's an amazing experience. It's not just if you want to be in front of the microphone, behind the panel, learning about the legal side of radio, everything. It's not just about being on air. So for any of those that think that you can't do it because you don't want to be on the air, don't worry about it. You can learn every possible facet of radio.
Yeah, and what led you to coming to Joy and getting involved? Because your story is a little bit different than most people.
It is a little bit. I have a gay son, and we used to listen to Joy quite a few times for quite a few years. And I talked about how wonderful it might be to be on air one day, et cetera, et cetera, and didn't take it too seriously. But I looked at the Taser Radio course, and one of those many things, put it off and put it off. And my husband actually bought it for Christmas for me, so I had no excuse to get out of it. So I did it for February and March with you, Mark, and we got on exceptionally well. And
you're my study buddy.
Yeah. So this is how quickly it can happen. We are at, you know, in June, and I'm now on the air. So for you guys that out there in listener land that would like to find out about the course, it runs throughout the year, I believe, Mark, and it runs for 2 months, and anybody that wants to have an experience like this, there's nothing around that you can do like this.
Yeah, agreed. Mm. And so you're a fellow graduate, and, mm-hmm. and you'll also be getting more and more involved. You were volunteering mm-hmm. during the recent drive with a lot of other people trying Correct. To get our members on board.
And on still, that,
yeah.
yes, you read my mind. It's not too late, guys, to renew your membership or to sign up and be a brand new member. And the... help me out, Mark. I haven't got the number in front of me here.
1300
joy949. Sorry, it should be etched in my mind.
Or you can also go to the website, which is joy.org.au, and you can sign up through the website. It's, mm-hmm. Do you know the prices?
The prices for...
I can tell you.
Yeah, I know them. Those I know. A family is $96. Individual is $72. Concession is $36. And under 18s is $22. Now, if you've got a business as well, it's $165. So,
look, if you were Bill Gates,
yeah.
I mean, think of the savings. You got Correct. 160,000 staff or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
$165.
Mm-hmm.
It virtually pays for itself.
Bargain.
Yeah.
The only word you can use.
Yeah, so I'm sure Mr. Gates is listening. He frequently does. Works out how to travel around the world with the skate pod on Joy 94.9. So, New York, you just come back. And so you had, now, weather-wise, did you hit it well?
Yeah, perfect time of year, I think, because as most of you may or may not know, New York, you don't go anywhere unless it's on foot or a bright yellow cab. So we would walk probably 10, 12 hours a day, and we would... you wouldn't want it too hot. We had probably early 20s temperatures, I'd say, and it was perfect. Your T-shirt weather, like light covering, that sort of thing. And I think even though you're walking, they're in blocks, and it's quite small blocks. It's if you had to walk 5 blocks in Melbourne in the CBD, you'd be walking for hours. Here, you might only have half a dozen houses or a couple of shops or something. So, and it's flat. So you get really good, healthy legs from walking. And the only problem we found was that we would get to the end of the day and we'd have 5 flights of stairs after you've walked 10 hours, 5 flights of stairs to get up to the top of the apartment. So,
ouch. So you got your apartment through being Airbnb,
right? Yeah. So we had a great experience with them. We were actually very lucky. There was a rooftop garden and sitting area with a little outdoor setting. So we would watch the sun set and see the Empire State Building just off. So that's an incredible experience. So we probably lived like a New Yorker, maybe more than a lot of other folks would. Sort of living in an apartment, you got maybe a little bit of a feel about what it might be like to live there. And you walk out down the rickety old stairs of the apartment and onto those little narrow streets with rubbish everywhere and bicycles.
Hold that thought about the rickety stairs, because that's a topic for later on in the day. So tell us about New York and your daily experiences. Did you go out for a bagel and a schmear with some lox?
I did, and I do have many photos. I think the lox was probably about an inch thick on my beautiful warm bagel. And
Eigewalt.
Correct. We did eat a lot. The food, fantastic value for food there, and they certainly don't do anything by halves.
No.
Double servings of everything. The service was exceptional. We had many places that we'd go to for breakfast. A little diner called B&H. It was about 10 feet wide. Typical diner, your round stools along the bar, and the waiters and the chefs yelling over each other, and they remember you as you walk in the door. They knew what breakfast you had 2 days ago, and I mean, they would see hundreds and hundreds of people every day. But it's that sort of energy that we really, really loved about New York. Mm. Food was just fantastic. If you're hungry at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, go and get a slice of pizza for $1.50. And we did do that a few times, I have to say. So, food was exceptional wherever we went.
Food's exceptional, and also Manhattan is a exceptional place for gay and lesbian mm-hmm. travellers. Most cities have a gay village, and the gay village isn't the West Village, it's all of the Manhattan Island.
Everywhere.
And a great tract of Brooklyn. So it's a wonderful place to go to not be in a minority and to be a very visible, significant majority. Mm. And that for a lot of gay and lesbian people is their first time. And New York has attracted people for generations from around the world and around the United States who go to New York to be able to live an out and full life. Mm. What were some of your more GLBTIQ experiences in NYC?
Okay,
NY, USA.
Okie dokie. A few things stand out. We went to Christopher Street and went to Stonewall, which was I'd expected to be a bit of a maybe a bit of a sombre place, but there's a beautiful little park, sort of an oval shaped park that just has trees and around it and seats, and people are sitting there, and there's two beautiful white statues of a lesbian couple and a gay couple, beautiful white statues, and it's just a really calm, gentle space. And Stonewall Inn is just across the road from there, and you see a few rainbow flags, but there's kind of a, there's just a nice feel about it there. I can't sort of describe it any other way. Again, maybe it's just something that you experience that you can only feel if you're there. A bit hard to describe. One of the nice things that we saw was a young gay couple in their dinner suits that have just come out of the theatre holding hands, and that was a really lovely thing to see. And we did see quite a lot of open expressions of PDAs, I suppose you'd call them, and you're right. There's it's a more of a majority. There's a lot more visible folks out there. That makes sense. One of the other funny experiences that we had, there's a fantastic ice cream place called Big Gay Ice Cream.
What do they sell at Big Gay Ice Cream?
Burgers. No, ice creams. Strange. And they have some
gay ice cream.
Yes, I know. And it's a bit of an institution there in the East
Village.
Isn't
it a redundancy? I mean, how much gay can you get than ice cream?
Well, I tell you what, here's some names of some gay ice creams.
Ooh,
they have the Salty Pimp, the Gobbler, and the Mexican Affogato. Now, some fantastic ice creams that they have here.
So what did you wrap your mouth around?
Salty Pimps, we did quite a few times. They have a cone, they line the cone with caramel, then put the soft serve, then squirt salty caramel into the ice cream, then sprinkle sea salt, and then dip it in chocolate. So Weight Watchers, beautiful. And that's the Salty Pimp. So what they do, they let you line up outside. It's very, very popular. You often have a half-hour wait to get in. But that's part of the experience as well, standing in the street and everyone interacting. You meet
talking.
People. Yeah, from all around the world. That's another thing with New York. People from everywhere. No one cares who you are, what you are, what your financial situation is, what your religion, what your sexuality is, nothing. It's just alive. And everyone wants to talk. So it's part of the experience of going to Big Gay Ice Cream, and you get in there and there's fantastic energetic ice cream servers and giving you their life story and some cheeky repartee quite often, and that was a great fun time. Yeah, and people know about it everywhere.
Yeah, well, now all of the Joy listener knows about.
Yes.
And so people often say about New York City, it's a city where the apartments are so small, people live their lives on the street. So people fight and they make out and they discuss personal matters very loudly in a city full of other people doing the same thing, because their home spaces might be just way too small for them to be able to do that on their own. What did you experience in those terms?
Well, yes, the apartments are tiny. You open the door and I think it hit the coffee table. That's how that's how much space we had, and they had a washer dryer squashed into a tiny little laundry. But you don't care, because you're not there to be sitting in an apartment. You're there to be eating and sleeping and then going out, basically. And you're right, the noise and the volume of people on the street, you'd walk past and you'd get snippets of insane conversations. So they are very, very loud, very animated, and it's everyone seems to have somewhere to go, somewhere important to be, and it's just so unique and alive.
Excellent. Today we have another special guest, another Joy Life member, and somebody whose dulcet tones are very familiar to the Joy Airways, and a lot of listeners are just thrilled to bits to hear Jodie Wilmer back on the air. Welcome, Jodie.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you as well, Michelle. It's great to be here on Escape Pod on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Michelle.
Yes. Jodie, we're going to share some stories about New York and see if we had maybe the same experience or similar experience. How many times have you been to New York?
Oh, I'd love to say it's my frequent summer destination, but unfortunately I've only been once. But it was a fantastic trip in 2007, around this time of year, in June. And I really relate to the way you were describing, Michelle, about the coffee shops and the way that people get to know you. One of the places we stayed was the Algonquin in near Times Square, and downstairs there was this great coffee shop. And I really felt like I was in Seinfeld. You know, there's booths and, you know, there's women with sort of little tight white outfits, you know, with their bringing around coffee. And it's just a fantastic experience to just sit there and immerse yourself in it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And people hate these sort of questions on these sort of travel type shows, but do you have a favourite place, something that you just stood out over and above anything else?
Well, you're right. It is a place that you can just walk and walk and walk till you can drop. I just loved being able to go through the contrasting architecture from one part of Manhattan to the other. I loved as well Brooklyn Bridge. Did you get the chance to go there?
Yes, yes. One of my many, many highlights, and it was a beautiful day, beautiful spring day, and the bike lane, half of the bridge is a bike lane, the other half is walking, and the amount of people, and again, it's that energy and it's that sense of being alive. And the other side of the bridge is just been recently redeveloped. I think there's a lot of new art apartments and sort of your big warehouse type spaces, and that's really, really up and coming. Did you see that when you were there as well, the apartments?
I did, yeah. And the apartments are quite incredible. I mean, we stayed in a small hotel, and the background to this hotel is quite fascinating. It's famed for its literary gatherings, and, you know, Gertrude Stein was there, you know, for over 100 years, and they have a resident cat. And even the wallpaper is sort of New Yorker magazine style, which was great. But being able to experience the way that people live in New York was a real treat. A friend of mine, Kathy, who lived there for a period of time, introduced me to a friend of hers, and he kindly introduced us, invited us over for dinner. And the apartment was in Chelsea, so there's a gorgeous area, but tiny, tiny studio. And he worked for a major international bank, and he wasn't short of a bob, but he spent his time travelling and doing a whole bunch of stuff outside the apartment. And when we came to the apartment for dinner that night, he had a wall bed, you know, like in Lucille Ball with the Murphy bed. Yeah, and I was so thrilled to see that. And he had his bike hung up on the wall, and I felt like it was really cliched, but that's the way he lives. And when I was looking around for where we were going to sit for dinner, I guess in Australia we're used to a bit more formal dining, and there was this tiny little bar table, and it had two stools, and then there were a number of us, and what he did was got cushions out, and the rest of the people could sit on the radiator with the cushions. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I love it.
I think we're spoilt in Australia for space, aren't we? We demand two cars, three televisions and four-bedroom houses, and really, you go to New York and you realise that actually you don't need to have that. It's just a place to sleep. But that sort of experience with the bed folding down, you're right, it's actually cliches like in Seinfeld. They've always got the bikes on the walls and that sort of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I didn't necessarily have to go to New York to love apartments. I mean, I live in apartments here in Melbourne, and I've always enjoyed that. And for me, that sense of being able to sort of lock it and leave is great. But also, I don't need a lot of space. You know, that's that works well for me.
So it's small spaces but big experiences, and that's one of the things I think people really enjoy about New York. You were telling us about Broadway, and you totally found the end of the rainbow, and it's not a pot of gold, it's Nathan Lane.
We did. We went and saw a fantastic play. One of the things about New York is that you can see theatre for $5 or $500, and such a broad array of types of theatre as well. And we went and saw Nathan Lane in the Nance, which we were on a balcony in one of those beautiful old theatres with the red curtains and the gold tassels around the and their beautiful ornate ceilings. And to see Nathan Lane is one of my favourite actors anyway, so it was a real joy to go and see him live and in the Nance. And it's about you have to excuse me, the early turn of the century, I think it was 20s and 30s, the men weren't allowed to be gay on stage, but they could have a gay person that they portrayed or personality, and somebody that sort of is very, very camp and hams things up and very flamboyant and wears makeup and that kind of things and swans back on the bed and that sort of thing. And he struggled as a gay man to live a gay lifestyle off the stage. So it was a little bit tragic and quite sad and moving, but he's just joyous to watch on stage, and he's got the saddest, like, puppy dog eyes on stage. He's just wonderful. So
he looks like Deputy Dog.
He does. I hadn't thought of that, but now that's all I'm going to think of, I think. Yeah, he was wonderful. So that was we did see a couple of other shows as well on stage. Bobby Cannavale in The Big Knife. Those people might know him from Boardwalk Empire, and he's had a few guest spots on other shows.
Yeah, and he also played a gay character, the partner of Will and Grace.
Will's
boyfriend for
yes,
a while
that's
there.
That's right.
So, yeah, he's got his rainbow chops.
He certainly does, and he was exceptional, walking out on stage, round of applause, even before he had his first lines out. Yeah.
What was your first experience when you hit New York? What was the first thing that, bam, happened?
Noise and speed. Not speed as in traffic.
Yeah, we're assuming.
Of course. The noise and the crowds, the people, and the energy. And again, you've been, Jody, you know what I mean by the noise and the energy. That's what hit me first, I think, more than anything else.
But one of the amazing things about New York, for all that noise, is that there are places to escape.
Mm.
And one of the most fabulous spots is Central Park, and being able to just immerse yourself in that beautiful nature and, you know, closing your eyes and sort of listening to birds and feeling like you're really quite far away from the big city. But then also seeing all those different spots that you know have been in movies.
And
sort of trying to picture, you know, who they were and what characters were there.
Yeah.
And one of the parks I didn't get to visit because it wasn't yet open, but it was in the planning. It's called the High Line, which is a public park which is built on a historic freight rail line, which is elevated above the streets of Manhattan on the west side. Now, it opened in 2009, June the 9th. So is that today?
999.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so I've heard about it since then. And I was there in 2007. But did you get to see that, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, Jodie. That was, we were in New York for 2 weeks, and my nephew, who lives there, he's a photojournalist for Reuters, and he told us about this. Got to go to the High Line, got to go. Yeah, it's a railway line. But boy, we're so glad we went. You're absolutely right. It's difficult to describe. It's an old railway line, and they filled in the tracks with soil. There's trees, there's herb gardens, they've got permanent furniture there, day beds that you can just go and sit and lounge around. And we actually went there, this is going to sound like a movie, but we went there after we had a helicopter ride over Manhattan, and then we went down to the High Line, watched the sunset last night in New York, and it's absolutely spectacular because you've got the skyline that you're seeing and the sun going down, and the people come from everywhere. They bring their picnics and rugs and they sit there and just watch the sun go down. It is absolutely spectacular. And again, it's been a big boom for the area as well. It's brought a lot of businesses to the area, and accommodation has really increased around that area too.
Mm. If you had one afternoon in Manhattan, what would you do?
Oh, don't do that to me.
Jodie?
Oh, well, I would spend it with you, Mark, because one of the great things about that trip was spent meeting up with you.
Yes, I was there too.
Yeah, it was with Jose, my partner at the time, and your friend. And you were in Dubai, and we had a rendezvous in New York. And I think, you know, we hadn't seen each other. It was only a year, but it was such a great time to just explore and do things. So,
and meet somewhere very, very different.
Meet somewhere completely different. I think what would I do? Oh, definitely just keep walking, you know, making sure you've got comfortable shoes and a bottle of water.
You bought great shoes there, I remember.
I did. I was just thinking about that the other day. In fact, next week I'm going back to the US and for a trip, and I'm very excited because I like to go shoe shopping.
Tell us about your trip to the States coming up. It's very exciting. It's very interesting.
Well, it is. I'm really fortunate. Travellers Aid, the organisation I work for, which is a non-profit, we help travellers who are stranded or in a crisis and people in emergencies and people with disabilities. And I am going going to an international conference in New Orleans. Now, obviously, most listeners will remember that that was badly affected by and devastated by the hurricane a number of years ago, Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. So now people are back on their feet in a lot of ways, and the convention centres are open and they're open for business. So it's the Travellers Aid International Conference, and my particular interest in going to the conference is there's a session on the needs of passengers with disabilities and airports. Mm. And we have an interest at Travellers Aid here in Melbourne about supporting people who are travelling and flying. So that would be really good.
Excellent. We look forward to you coming back with some beads for us all. You are staying in the French Quarter?
Staying in the French Quarter. This is my second trip to New Orleans, and it is an amazing place. It's just got a great atmosphere. People are really friendly. Although, you know, the little guest house I stayed at, they said, oh, you know, you shouldn't walk anywhere and should always get cabs and everyone, you know, you'll get mugged. I'm like, dude, it's fine. I was fine. Mm.
Yeah. Did you feel safe in New York when you were just there, Michelle?
Yeah, and it's interesting, again, before I went, I had a preconceived idea that it would be dangerous. And it isn't, Jodie, is it? It's just, it's got a massive city feel with a homely feel at the same time. And there was, now we caught the subway, and I have to say, subway. You want every 8 minutes, I think, every 5 minutes. And we saw on the trains at any time of the day or night, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, older people, young, girls on their own. You know, tourists, everybody, and I felt really safe. And we found people would come up if there was an indication that we might have been lost or we were looking at a map. Everyone comes up, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, to help. You know, can I help you? Where are you going? And they love to hear the accent. Oh, where are you from? You know. It's very welcoming, isn't it?
It is. And in fact, another friend who was in New York at the time, Omar, was really helpful as well, and took us out for, you know, great steaks in the Spanish Quarter and Spanish Harlem, rather. And yeah, people are very, very friendly in New York from my experience.
That's excellent. Well, we've got a lot to talk about in the next half hour. We're going to be having a look at the legalities around Airbnb and similar kinds of websites. So we want to invite the listeners to give us your thoughts or your experiences with Airbnb or similar kind of booking websites. Email us at onair@joy.org.au or leave a phone message, 1300 JOY 949. You can SMS us at 0427 JOY 949. We've got lots of options and there's no reason why not, unless you're sort of reversing your Volkswagen Golf out of the markets today. Maybe you're doing that. Give us a hoi. We'd love to hear about your experiences. You're listening to The Escape Pod. It's Mark, and we've got extra special guest host, Michelle, who's a recent Taste of Radio graduate. And we have a special guest and Joy Life member, Jodie Wilmer, who also has travelled to New York, which is our theme of today, and has used online services to hire her apartment out. Now, we're talking about Airbnb because it's a controversy that's live, and we've had a flurry of listeners who have SMS in, so thank you for that. Jerry's telling us that friendlyrentals.com is another site. So there's, and I believe yours was?
Well, I rented out my apartment in Melbourne on Gumtree, which is a website, a little bit like the Trading Post. You can buy and sell things on there. And there's also Couch Surfing, which is more of an informal arrangement, and there's no exchange of money. And in fact, previously on Detours, we had Brian Thacker, who's the author of Couch Surfing Your Way Around the World, where people hook up online, in inverted commas, to meet and stay at each other's houses. And it could be a proper bed in a room, or it could be a couch. And it's an informal way of being hosted.
And keeping costs down.
That's correct.
To enable travel. Because a lot of people, it's the cash that's prohibitive. But Michelle, you, when you were in New York, you used Airbnb for your...
Yeah, we did. We had a fantastic experience with them. It was a little bit lengthy because basically you put your search criteria in, you know, where you want to be and your budget, etc. And look at the apartments that come up. And then you have to wait for them to accept you, in a sense. But our experience with them was fantastic. In fact, even our plane was delayed and the chap waited for us to arrive and help carry our luggage up the 5 flights of stairs into that little box that we were going to live in for 2 weeks. But we had nothing but a positive experience with them. We gave him a great feedback, and as he did with us as well. And we have used it in a couple of other places. We also use it in Washington. So we've had a great experience with them. It gives you another opportunity to stay somewhere and have the real life experience rather than through a hotel. And yourself?
Yeah, I also, not on the trip that I was in New York with Jody, I went with another friend, Emma, and her husband, and we got a, it was before the sites that are currently available were there, so we used a local site in New York, which now doesn't exist anymore, and we got an apartment, a sub-penthouse in Williamsburg across the river with a view back to Lower Manhattan and a rooftop deck and everything, and it was very affordable for the three of us. It's a two-bedroom flat, two bathrooms, beautiful views over Manhattan, and it was nowhere near what we would have had to pay for a hotel. So we could use that extra money in our budget to do other things. So we went out to a couple of really great restaurants and did a lot of catering at home to save money as well. So that was one of the things that we stretched our budget and got great views. What do you think, Jodie?
Well, I think the context is that, you know, people for many, many years have been travelling in different ways. So obviously there is a place for formal accommodation in hotels and backpackers and all sorts of, you know, trips like that. But there's also homestays and there's also house swaps where people, you know, put their accommodation online. And that's been actually running for, you know, over 10 or 15 years formally on websites. So I think the controversy that we'll talk about in a minute about Airbnb, I think needs to be seen in the context that people have been doing this sort of stuff informally for many, many years. And I think generally speaking, my experience of travelling and having hosted people from all around the world in my home whilst I've been there and then when I've been away has been so positive. I've met the most delightful, fantastic, weird and strange people. In fact, one woman from the UK came to stay with me here in Melbourne, and I said, I'll meet you at Southern Cross Station, pick you up from the Skybus that comes in from the airport. And when I picked her up, I knew she was the woman to come and stay with me because she was wearing shorty shorts in the middle of winter. She had really high sort of hooker heels, and she had this huge pink wheelie suitcase that was like bigger than her. And I'm like, you're very interesting. I actually invited her to come and have drinks with some of my friends, and my friends were all going, who is that girl? I go, I don't know. She's staying at my house. So then I asked her, so what sort of job do you do? Oh, she said, I'm in promotions. Well, what does that mean? Oh, well, you know, when nightclubs are open, I go and give out the flyers outside. I said, that's very interesting. And then she showed me her suitcase. She virtually only had G-strings in there. I think she was actually like a pole dancer or something. But she was very good and, you know, a good house guest.
Paid in cash.
Paid in cash. You know, she
a lot cleaned, of rolled up notes.
Cleaned up for herself and it was all fine.
Well, the controversy about Airbnb at the moment is a person who has hired out their home has been fined $2,400 by authorities in New York. Now, Airbnb are assisting, fight the case and will assist with funding and legalities going along with preparing and defending the case. But Amsterdam recently approved Airbnb for use. Now, New York has a very different view. There was a lot of hotel outcry saying that we have to pay taxes, we have to pay for regulations. And this Airbnb comes along, it's low cost, but it's very unregulated. So there are no protections for the consumer. And we're then put at the disadvantage that we have to build all these buildings or rent all these buildings and to then hire out. So we have constant stock at risk. And we have to comply with health codes, we have to comply with taxation laws. And people who rent out through Airbnb and other sites like it don't. So there's a very interesting economic case, not only from the city who collects the taxes, but for the businesses who have to pay it and who are beholden to keeping a standard that's going to keep guests safe. And the question is that a path that's going to go forward? Now, the test case that's going forward in New York is going to be something that we will absolutely very, very keenly watch here at Escape Pod, Joy 94.9, and we'll keep our listeners up to date. But the Amsterdam situation was different and it was very interesting. They were talking about the social aspect. Amsterdam is notoriously expensive and they try and keep Amsterdam as accommodation low because the rates are so high for tourist accommodation. And it's balancing the social aspect of making sure that Amsterdamers can live in their own city without being priced out by sites like Airbnb and others that will then preclude people from being able to afford to rent a home, a room in their own city. So that was a very interesting take on things. And they've established that it's not really a problem, but they're going to keep a very firm eye on going through the future, because they don't want their own residents outpriced from the market in their own home.
And I think the thing is, though, the accommodation length of time and duration is quite small often. I mean, Michelle stayed for 2 weeks. Other people might be there for a secondment or something. So I don't know if it's really an issue.
Yeah, we'll see. It's very interesting. But these are the issues that I never thought of before, but it's bringing up... It's $1 billion in billing in a year. It's being used. A lot of people are out there Airbnb-ing and other siting. It's 16 minutes to 3. Joy 94.9. You're on the Skate Pod.
Have you ever needed help, advice, or just someone to talk to? Lifeline has trained counsellors who are there to listen 24/7. So the next time you need to reach out, call Lifeline on 13 11 14. To be heard is a wonderful thing. Lifeline, 13 11 14.
Genderqueer Australia is a support group that helps connect the genderqueer community, including transgender, gender questioning and genderqueer people in Melbourne and beyond. We're proud to announce that we're now national with a new name and new website. Check out Genderqueer Australia at genderqueer.org.au, where you'll find information on our regular monthly meetings on the first Saturday of each month, online resources and much, much more. That's Genderqueer Australia, genderqueer.org.au.
I have to apologise. We had a rather terse SMS from a listener who wanted to know what the track was before, and I forgot to, that was me, my bad. That was Manhattan Skyline from Saturday Night Fever, and the listener was right, yes, but you don't get to win the Volkswagen Golf I've been talking about. So, but feel free to join up and become a member. We also had an email in from Jim from Alphington, and he's jealous that we're talking about New York because he loves it so much, and he's glad we talked about Highline, but he said a really important thing, don't forget rural New York State, which is beautiful, and Jim's right. New York, New Jersey, the entire precinct, the whole area is absolutely beautiful, rolling verdant hills and great farming area, right through down to where the Pennsylvania Dutch are, the Amish people outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, excellent part of the world. And yeah, thanks, Jim, for reminding us of that. New York City is a great built-up environment, but it's not all about that. Michelle, would you use Airbnb again?
Yes, I absolutely would, yeah. Our experience was nothing but positive. As Jodie touched on, it's a way to reduce your costs a bit and still have a very high quality of accommodation versus a hotel. Originally, I thought if you stay in an apartment, there's no concierge, how are you going to know about what to do in New York and all. It really doesn't matter. In a place like New York in particular, there's so much around you that you're always going to find something to do. You don't have to be in a hotel. And I just think you get a more of a realistic experience of the country that you're living in or the city that you're in because you're living like one of the locals to a degree.
And New York is one of those cities where I think it's people are so familiar with it from TV, seeing Seinfeld and so forth. We also had a couple of SMSs in. So we don't know your name because it wasn't on the SMS you sent in. Your phone number ends with 7, so number 7, thank you for for SMSing in. We appreciate that. It's one of those cities where you have seen so much. You've seen the architecture, you've seen the streets, you've seen taxis, you've seen blah, blah, blah. It feels familiar. What did you think, Jodie?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I felt like it was Sex and the City, Seinfeld, and, you know, everything all over. There are so many iconic places and positions and foods, and the experience of New York is amazing. Can I just switch, though, to the UK briefly? My
yes.
sister just messaged on Facebook, and my sister Libby is in Newcastle upon Tyne in the bath listening to Joy 94.9 on her app.
And that's when she said, don't say on air that I'm in the bath.
Well, I have to. I'm her big sister. I'm allowed to do shit like that.
So thanks for letting us know, Liv. Everyone now knows. Yeah, it's really important that people understand that if you are travelling, and we endorse that very much so from Escape Pod, just take your iPhone with you, download the app. Also, thank you very much, the Google thing, Android. Yep, that also does it. I'm not a user. But you could just listen to the website. You can listen in live, joy.org.au/listen live. You can do it now.
My son is actually in Japan at the moment.
Listening live?
And listening live.
Hello, son.
Yes, hello, Nelson.
Nelson.
So, yes, technology. We love it.
Fantastic. We've got a whole bunch of global events that are happening right at the moment. Now, of course... during the year, the Northern Hemisphere, this is the season for Pride festivals. It's summer. It's early summer. So we had Canadian David last week, and he's on his way, I believe, to Tel Aviv Pride at the moment. So we're looking forward to hearing what he can remember of that. Athens, Edmonton, Long Island, Baltimore, Thessaloniki, Nashville, Scotia in Scotland, not Nova Scotia, Canada, Denver, Colorado, and Rhode Island, and Stuttfest, Berlin are all having prides in the coming 7 days. That's a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm. That is. Yeah, amazing. It is.
I know, right?
And sore heads, perhaps?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of cranky people in Thessaloniki at some stage.
A lot of glitter.
Glitter in the eyes and ouzo hangovers. And Long Island iced tea drinkers, I'm sure, are going to be bears with sore heads the next day. So good on all these places for having prides. We'll announce lots more coming up. If you do want to know the contact details, just email us here at joy, on air at joy.org.au, and we'll give you the website. But if you just also Google it, the Googles are very good these days. They'll give you the sites of the websites so you can check it out for yourself. Now, Michelle...
Yes.
You're co-hosting today.
Yes.
You're doing a fabulous job.
Thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying it, everyone out there.
I'm sure the listeners are thrilled. Your next travels, what have you got planned coming up?
Oh, New York, New York, New York, New York. Is there no other place, I don't think. We would definitely like to go back to New York next year. We're thinking of having three weeks, and we might actually go off to some other little city called San Francisco. We're thinking of going there. Not quite sure yet, but definitely back to New York. One of the places I think I forgot to mention before, there's an old lady that lives in Washington Heights called Marjorie, and I know that a lot of people have heard of this lady. She's probably in her mid-late 60s, and she opens her home up every Sunday afternoon free in her parlour, and she puts folding chairs around. It's in her lounge room and kitchen and in her corridor, and people just come, knock on the door, she opens the doors, and she has jazz. She has probably about half a dozen singers and musicians there, and they just play live in her living room or in her parlour in one of these old traditional buildings, as you're saying, Jodie, that old architecture. And that was an amazing experience for nothing. She does this in honour of her two sons that have died. That was an incredible experience.
Where exactly was that?
Washington Heights.
Washington Heights. Yes. So that's north. That's the over 120 suburban street.
Yes, probably about half hour, 40 minutes on the subway.
Yeah.
I can get more specifics for you, but that's...
Yeah, do. We'll put it on the website because that's around the Columbia University area.
Yeah.
So, and if you haven't been to the Upper West Side, Jody was talking about a meal that we had with a friend in the Upper West Side, and we walked all the way from the Upper West Side, not far from Columbia University campus, down Broadway... until to Midtown. We walked all the way back to the hotel, I believe.
We
had such a big meal we had to work on.
Oh, it was the most amazing Argentinian steak. Oh, my God, it was just incredible. Hey, Michelle, before we're talking about the pride and around the world, I just want to say good on you for volunteering here at Joy. You are an inspiration. Like, your son is gay and you've decided to support him in this way, and I just wanted to say well done you.
Thank you.
I think you're a great inspiration to lots of other parents and carers of gays and lesbians. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you. That's very nice to hear that. This is my normal. This is how I am. I don't think I could be any other way, but that's nice for you to say. Being in Joy, this is just like a family, and I have said this a number of times, that you walk in here and there is a sense of joy. It lives up to its name, and it really is. Doesn't matter what age, anything. It's a lovely place. You walk in the door and it smiles and happy, and you get to know more and more people as the more you're here. And I just feel so at home. My husband and I think we should just have a bed out the back, and we just wake up here and we live here. How could you not? Come on.
That's a good point. Michelle's brought up her husband, and so Michelle and her husband were working the phones all last week when we were on air with the Radiothon. So the whole family's involved in Joy. So they got a family membership,
yes,
which is $96. Individual,
yes,
72, concession 36, under 18, 22. And if you're a corporate titan, your business can be a $165 member of Joy. Just phone us 1-300-JOY-949 and we'll be more than glad to sign you up, or you can join in through the website. We love our listeners because we're a community radio station.
and we've got 7 minutes, Mark, wouldn't it be fabulous if we had a couple of new members or renewing memberships?
How about seven new members?
Seven, let's see if we can seven, do it. 1 minute. Go, go, go.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.